Back in 1983, it was one small liftoff for some men, one giant leap for America.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We go for main engine start. We have main engine start and ignition and liftoff. Liftoff of STS-7 and America's first woman astronaut. And the shuttle has pulled the tower.
Did you hear that there? America's first woman astronaut. On June 18th of 1983, Sally Ride became the first American woman in space. We got news of Ride's death yesterday at age 61 from pancreatic cancer. How did this pioneer inspire you? Here's Kristen from Los Angeles on our Facebook page. She was a groundbreaking woman who inspired young girls to reach for the stars and later helped them reach that goal through her efforts with Sally Ride Science. Her legacy serves as a reminder of the positive impact one person can have. Praying for her friends and family. May this national hero rest in peace. We'd love your reactions or stories about how Sally Ride inspired you. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Join us now to talk about Sally Ride, the first American woman in space. She's a theoretical physicist and author of the New York Times bestseller Physics of the Future, Michio Kaku. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be on.
And also we're joined by Susan Oki, who's a science and medical journalist and knew Sally Ride very, very well growing up, Susan, right?
That's right.
So what did you think she would be when you guys were growing up together, and your thoughts today?
Well, I thought she would be a research astrophysicist. She was in love with physics and the stars from the time I first knew her. She got excited about physics in ninth grade thanks to a science teacher. And she used to talk about going into astronomy or astrophysics, but I didn't know she would be an astronaut until she called me towards the end of graduate school and told me she had seen a notice that they were looking for women astronauts for the first time, and she was going to apply.
Now, was this a part of her interest in the stars and space, or it was a sort of a what-the-hell thing?
Oh, I think it completely linked to her interest in stars and the space. She had been studying astrophysics, and this was a chance to be on the shuttle and launch satellites. But I think it also appealed to the side of her that wanted to learn to fly, wanted to be up there, wanted to have adventure, experience weightlessness. She said that it was like a light flashed in her mind when she saw that notice, and she knew that was what she wanted.
That's so great. Well, we're certainly glad she took that step. Susan Oki's a science and medical journalist. Sally Ride's best friend from high school, Michio Kaku, you know, the first man who went into space, both on the Russian and on the American side, these were test pilots. These were people who had, you know, a view of aerospace, but not necessarily a view of astrophysics and science. In a way, the first American woman in space was a much more complete character to peer out the window and see where the Earth fit into the cosmos. Yes?
That's right. In fact, she had 3 degrees in physics. She had a bachelor's, a master's, and a PhD in physics from Stanford. And when she retired from NASA, she became a professor of physics at the University of California at San Diego. And her PhD work is very interesting. She specialized in something called X-ray astronomy. Now, we all know that telescopes use light from the stars to see into the fabric of the universe. However, there is X-ray radiation that is quite copious, emitted from black holes and supernovae. And to see that, you need an X-ray telescope. And that's what she specialized in. She was interested in not looking at simply the optical frequencies, like what the Hubble Space Telescope looks at, but the X-ray frequencies like the Chandra X-ray Telescope, which allows you to peer into the heart of black holes and the heart of supernovae. So remember that we have the stereotype of a physicist from the Big Bang Theory on television. Physicists are supposed to be male, nerdy, and cannot get a date. However, I think Sally Ride has broken all the stereotypes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about her legacy in her own words. We have some of the many clips that she gave because she thought of herself as a teacher and as a mentor, not only to women, but of anybody who is interested in science. Here she is during the White House Astronomy Night celebration back in 2009.
Science and technology are the engines that drive our economy. So the economic future of the country actually depends on the next generation of scientists and engineers.
And as a scientist and an engineer, the idea of being the first woman of anything didn't really thrill her, except in hindsight. Listen.
I didn't really think about it that much at the time, because I just wanted to get the opportunity to do that. But I came to appreciate what an honor it was to be selected to be the first woman to get a chance to go into space. And that's important to me, and I think that that it's something that I treasure, and I appreciate what an honor it was.
Susan, it really went back to her notion of the importance of being mentored by that original science teacher that she had. She really took that pioneering spirit and became, in some ways, as much a professional mentor as she was a physicist.
That's right. I think she initially, after the first flight, was not so comfortable with all the speeches and all the public appearances she had to do, but she always liked talking to kids. She talked at innumerable schools, and she said kids would ask the questions that adults were too embarrassed to ask. How different things worked on the shuttle, especially how people went to the bathroom, was something that she always got asked by school kids.
Oh, my God.
And she grew into this role of really wanting to mentor, especially girls, but kids of all sorts, to stay interested in science and math, and eventually came to mentoring teachers at Sally Ride Science, trying to make science classes in middle school more exciting and more engaging.
What was her model for that? What was the design question that she was trying to address about why middle school science doesn't attract women? Because that's the point at which the populations diverge. Men and young boys and girls conceivably have comparable interests in science and technology in elementary school, but after middle school, it all changes.
Well, I think she was aware from having been on a number of panels that young girls often seem to lose confidence in their abilities in science and math at that age. So it was a combination of wanting to engage them and make the classes more hands-on and more involved with interesting and fun experiments, and also to give kids that age a sense of what you could do with science, what kinds of fun careers there were, and what real scientists were like.
Michio Kaku, as Sally Ride, as you mentioned, is an X-ray astronomer in her physics background, and was very, very interested in what X-rays bouncing around the universe tell us about celestial objects. When she looked through that window of the space shuttle, what do you think it was that she saw out there?
Gee, I think, when you listen to her interviews, she was absolutely stunned at the image of the Earth, looking at the Earth from outer space, realizing that we're all really all part of one gigantic universe. And what she specialized in is to see the universe in new eyes. With X-rays, you can see frequencies emitted by black holes and exploding stars that are completely invisible to the ordinary eye. X-rays are absorbed by the atmosphere. And as a consequence, you have to go into outer space to take advantage of this. The Chandra X-ray telescope is above the atmosphere of the Earth, which absorbs X-rays, and you can see the universe with new eyes. And so I think that's one of the observations she made, that she saw the world in a totally different way from outer space. And that's what you can do with X-rays, peering into the heart of black holes, seeing some of the most energetic objects in the universe, gamma ray bursters, black holes, explosions second only to the Big Bang, which can only be seen by using X-rays.
Susan, leave us with an encounter that you had with Sally Ride that stays with you.
When I was down staying with her in Houston doing the reporting for a series that I wrote on her for the Washington Post, I went into the simulator and watched her train. But the thing that I remember is watching her get into a little NASA jet and take off and fly away. It was just this sense of limitlessness in Sally's case. She could just do anything.
And she had the name. She had the name to go with it, that's for sure. Yeah. Remembering Sally Ride there, Susan Oakey, science and medical journalist, Sally Ride's high school friend, who did a series of reports when Sally Ride became the first American woman in space back in 1983, and Michio Kaku, theoretical physicist and author of the New York Times bestseller, Physics of the Future. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.